Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, one person that's out there.
Good morning.
Praise
good
God, morning. Too. All right, there we go. Praise God. Good morning. My name's Mike Scan. I'm the lead pastor here at Epic Life, and you have joined us in the middle of a phenomenal series that we're calling A Love Story, and it is about marriage. And so the cool thing is, guys and gals that are not married, do not freak out on me and check out, okay? Because some of y'all be like, man, I ain't married. I'm out of here. All right, so teenagers or young adults or whatever, don't freak out on me. This message is going to apply to everybody across the board. Because here's the idea. The idea is God has created a love story in us that reflects Christ, that reflects the church, that reflects his love for us. But also, that love story comes out in a mirror form in marriage, in relationships. Amen? We get to reflect the relationship we have with God in our marriage. And so if you're single this morning, the interesting thing is we're going to talk about some really cool stuff that hopefully, man, you won't be single too much longer. Praise God. All right? Mom and Dad say amen. They get to move out. Okay? Praise God. All right? So we're like, yes. All right? So maybe we'll go that direction with it this morning. But the whole idea, man, is that before we can understand this love story that all of us are engaged in, that all of us will be engaged in at some point in our life, we have to understand the role of our part or our role inside that love story. And so the last couple of weeks, the first week we kicked it off with talking about the warriors, right? Some of you guys were here, raise your hand, right? What's that word? Can anybody remember the word? Kasak, that's right. It's the warriors, the battle cry. To stand strong, be courageous, show yourself a man. And then we talked about the next week. We kind of eased it off, and we let Robin come here and preach. And I've been told by the men that will never happen again. All right, because they're talking about, man, you know, putting, cutting off the head and throwing it over the wall and stabbing yourself in the skull. My wife kind of went off the chain, man. So guys are sleeping with one eye open now, you know, they're worried, you know. As we've seen, that women and the princess that they are in this relationship to their king, it can be a very fierce one and should be fierce in who they are and who God's created them to be. I think sometimes in the church we've kind of, you know, made these guys to be kind of these macho, you know, whatever, and the girls to be this old docile, you know. Man, they're powerful. And we look at the women that God used throughout Scripture, and that's what they were doing, man. They were chunking heads over walls and piercing skulls with spears and all sorts of crazy stuff. You know, so thank you for my wife getting up here and bringing that last week. That was really cool. And this week, what we're going to talk about, we're going to continue on with the love story. And this is going to be kind of cool. And it's going to be kind of funny. We're going to have a good time. We're going to look through the book for the next 4 weeks. We're going to unpack the book of the Song of Solomon. All right? Really cool story there. There's a lot of good stuff. Some of your Bibles will call it the Song of Songs. It is the Song of Songs. He wrote, Solomon, or David rather, actually wrote this. David wrote a lot of the Psalms, and he wrote over 1,000-something songs. And they're saying that scripture-wise, this is the song of the songs. It's actually an allegory. It's filled with a lot of symbolisms, words, play, and stuff that you go, you know, if you say this stuff to maybe your spouse or something like that, you could really get into trouble. Like things like your belly is like a bowl of wheat. Okay, probably not something, guys, you want to go home and tell your wife about, you know, and say, hey, baby, you got a belly full of wheat or something like that. Or your face is like that of a mare. Probably not a good idea, you know, to do that, or we'll be talking about Robin's message where she was cutting off people's heads and throwing them over the walls. All right, so don't go home and call your wife, your spouse, a mare. Probably not a good idea, okay? So before we get into this, I got to set a couple of ground rules this morning as we begin to take off on this Song of Solomon for the next few weeks. First of all, listen for yourself. All right, no more attaboys, amen, preach it, brother, yeah. No elbowing, patting on the back. Hey, shut up. Are you listening? Anything like that, okay? None of that this morning, all right? Listen for yourself. Matter of fact, if you'll look in your worship guide right now, everybody open up your worship guide, all right? Open up your worship guide. You're going to see that normally I put all the scriptures in there, and I got big points in there, and a lot of quotes from the message. You'll see that that's not in there this morning because I want you to listen for you. I want you to listen to see what God is speaking to you about this next series and encourage you over the next 4 weeks to be a part of this message series as God is going to reveal a lot of cool stuff. All right? Now, here's another thing. Here's another rule that we're going to talk about is you're going to hear a lot about God's standard of marriage and relationships. And when you start hearing about God's relationship and God's standard on relationship, it is really easy to step in and go, crud, man, I missed it. I'm not worthy. There ain't no way I can meet that standard. There's no way that I've met that standard. I have failed in this area. All right? So throughout the message, I want you to remember Jesus Christ. Amen? Huh? He is and has taken away the shame. Amen? He's taken away the sin. He's taken away all that. Jesus Christ is the reason why we're here today, right? Praise God. So we don't have to worry about condemnation or guilt or all that stuff. This is God's standard. And the whole reason of talking about this is to help us focus and realize that the relationship that we have or will have is a direct reflection of who God is. And to take that pretty serious. And there might be some things you're going to have to jot down and say, hey, man, I need to work on this. Okay? But we don't want condemnation to set in. We want the Holy Spirit's conviction. Let him speak to you and him alone. And the last thing, the last number rule is that this entire message series is a PG-13 message series. Yes, we are going to talk about sex. This whole relationship is going to talk about, and somewhere around, yeah, it's going to be like, woohoo! All right? Some of y'all, I mean, this is going to talk about that. So if you have a 12-year-old or younger, thank you, Brian, I want to encourage you to take advantage of our amazing, amazing children's ministries that we have going on in there. Okay? Amazing children's ministry. So you can take your children out at any time, and that way there's no problem. But this is definitely for 13 years and old. And you might say as a mom and dad, are you kidding me? You're going to talk about that subject with my 13-year-old? Let me tell you something. They're hearing more of that at school. I promise you. I promise you they're hearing a lot more than that. All right? So now, again, this is written as a poem or an allegory, which means there are a lot of symbolisms in there. We don't want to go home and call our wife a mare and all that stuff. But you don't have to worry because I have done all the work for you. All right, say amen. All right, so I'm going to explain some of this stuff as we go on through this. And we're going to talk a lot about it. And I'm going to show you kind of some of the things you can say and some things you don't want to say. Okay, so let's kind of kick it off looking at Psalms, Song of Psalms, chapter 1. We're going to look at chapter 1 today. And part of chapter 2, and then we'll continue on throughout the next couple of weeks as you see it. It's going to be a lot of fun, okay? First of all, let's kick off in a word of prayer. I want to pray over you real quick. Holy Spirit, speak to us as individuals. We know we are not perfect. There are areas that we are flawed at. But Holy Spirit, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you would speak into our hearts, whether it's as a husband, whether it's as a wife, whether it's as someone in a dating relationship, whether it's someone in a courting relationship, engaged, Father, whatever level that we are at, we ask you, Holy Spirit, that you'd speak to us and help us to be examples of your love in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you very much. All right, so Song of Solomon, chapter 1. Let's start out at verse 1, verse 3. We'll read it together. All right, it says Solomon's Song of Songs. So it just kind of gives you identity right there. This is what it is. It is the Song of Songs. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, all the ladies said. Right on. For your love is more delightful than wine. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfume. Your name is like the perfume poured out. No wonder the maidens love you. So let's talk about that for a moment because this is going to get really exciting really quick. Praise God. All right. So what I want you to focus on is the first message right there. It says, for your love is more delightful than wine. See, if today, or for the next few weeks actually, if you'll pull in and listen to the message and listen to what God is speaking to you today, your attitude and your attraction, and that's what we're going to talk about. The name of this message series is called The Love of the Art of Attraction. Some of y'all ain't got a girlfriend, man. You looked in the mirror lately, you're not very attractive. Okay? Mike, you're harsh. Okay, we're not talking about looks, okay? But we're talking about that some things that we do in our life are not very attractive. Our attitude sometimes, our personalities. We walk into a room and everybody leaves and we haven't figured it out yet. There's an attraction, but if you'll draw in over the next few months or a few weeks, not months, praise God, I don't ever go that long with a message, all right? And you respond to what God's going to do and wants to do in your marriage as a warrior and as a princess, people will begin to say this about you. Because see, look, in this whole Song of Solomon, there are really three people, there are three voices that are speaking. There's the lover, all right? The lover is the guy, all right? There's the maiden, or the, not the maiden, the girl, she's speaking there too. And then there's the maidens, the virgins, all the people on the outskirts that are talking about it, that are all talking, they're all voices. And see, what happened, what he's saying here is like, look, what she says is that your love is more delightful than wine. In other words, she's not saying that your heartbeat, your love, oh my goodness, your love is so passionate. She's saying that you, the way you come into a room, who you are as a person is better than wine. Your fragrance is like perfume. Everybody knows somebody that when they walk into the entire room lights up, don't we? We know that person. They walk in, it's just like the whole atmosphere of that room changes. This is what she's communicating to him. That when he walks into the room, man, the whole atmosphere of the room begins to change. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfume. And when he says your name is like perfume, what she says is everybody knows you. When your name is mentioned, there's a fragrance even about your name in who you are. That's pretty good stuff. I mean, that's a name or a reputation that we want in our life. And the whole story, if you break the whole story down of the Song of Solomon, it's really kind of a three-phase relationship, almost a courting deal. And so the first thing we see is that if we'll draw in, people will begin to say that. People will begin to say that about you, that, look, she says, look, everybody wants a love like that. Everybody wants to be like Corey. Everybody wants to be like Brian. Everybody wants to be like that person because of the perfume and the love and the type of person that you are. They're saying, you've got a love like God. 1 John 4:8 says, he who does not love has not become acquainted with God. She's saying, look, when you walk into a room, the perfume that you have, as a people see the love of God in you. People see that love. Perfume, it's the best. There's a fragrance that you leave when you leave a room. And some of you leave a room with a fragrance that, not so good. Right? And then when they're talking about the maidens, they're saying, look, man, other people want to be you. Other people want to be you. The ladies are jealous of you because you're with me. That's God's design for relationship and marriage. Listen here. The maidens are looking at him going, where did you learn to love like that? You see, if we'll draw in relationship and understand our relationship is a direct reflection of Christ, what happens is we draw into God's word. See, God's word creates in us and propels us to love like nobody else's business. We tend to take God's word outside of marriage, don't we? We kind of leave it aside and we orchestrate our marriage and we correct our marriage and we form our marriage like everybody else does in the world. But see, when we understand and get a love, not only for who God is, but we get a love for God's word, that love begins to come out of us. And when we walk into an environment, people will know the difference. I had a conversation with someone the other day, and it's so true, talking about their child. And they said, our child knows a fake. Do you know something, man? When you walk into a relationship, guys, girls, both of us, people can identify something that's fake, counterfeit. We can see what is counterfeit. When God's word is coming out of us and his love, it's about his love, you cannot mistake God's love versus a fake and counterfeit love. It's powerful. It's powerful in a relationship. The Bible says in Psalms 119, 11, says, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. See, some people don't believe we should be talking about sex. We shouldn't be talking about sex in church. We take God's standard out of his word and we just say, you know what, let's just talk about this stuff. So we don't talk about sex anymore at church. We don't talk about the divorce rate being so high anymore. We kick everything out and we leave here on a Sunday morning and we can't understand we're still having problems in our marriage. Let loose for a moment. God's word is powerful. Let that be the standard that builds the love in your relationship. In any young people, listen to me for a moment. You've got to find a standard somewhere in your life. There's got to be a standard that you're setting and saying, this is going to be my standard. Young men, what's your standard? See, here's the idea. If God's word is your standard, if God's word is the standard of your life, young people, listen to me. You need to have the talk with your boyfriend or girlfriend about that subject. You do. Listen to me. Because you need to say, hey, you know what? I like where this is going. We got something happening here. We got a good relationship. Single adults, teenagers, listen to me for a moment. Let God's standard be your guide. And you need to sit down with your boyfriend, girlfriend, the person you're interested in, whatever, and say, hey, look, you know something? See all this? We ain't going there. Because let me tell you something, young people. If you don't talk about that now, you're going to go there. God's standard. Let that be the first love. We did a message series last year on marriage, and we talked about, not too long ago, was about searching your or finding the one, serving the one while you search for two. And that our spouse, our boyfriend, girlfriend, that's two. It's not number one. Let God's word be that standard. It's time that we get back to God's standard, church. In Song of Solomon 1:4-6, it really goes. So that kind of kicks us off, introduces us to where we're at, and now we're going to start talking to each other. We're going to start talking about one another. Watch what happens here. Take me away with you. Let us hurry. Let the king bring me into his chambers. Friends, we rejoice and delight in you. We will praise your love more than wine. Beloved, how right they are to adore you. What is your reputation looking like, guys? Can people say that about us? Our integrity, our character. See, there's an order of attraction when it comes to relationships. If you're not married, listen to me, not married folks, I know I'm kind of rousing on you a little bit, but listen to me, your order has to start with God's order. See, some of you don't understand why you can't work out on these relationships because you're not doing it by God's order. You're kind of trying to do things in your way. But God has an order. And the order is not to keep something from you. It's to give something to you. Y'all are quiet this morning. All right? So there's God's order. Single or not married. Another thing is you need to look at what really makes you attractive. What really is making you attractive? All right, and if you're married, listen to me. We did something crazy because we wanted to be attractive for our spouse when we were dating and engaged. And man, we called them up all the time and communicated and did all these right stuff. But somewhere in the middle of this, we got a ring on our finger. And then what do? We stopped becoming attractive to our spouse. Right? We stopped being attractive to our spouse. We need to begin to work in the marriage. We need to begin to work on being attractive to our spouse again. Yeah, guys, you know something? It's okay. Trim the nose hair every once in a while. All right? I got two words for you. One eyebrow. No. There should be a space between those things, man. All right? I can talk about the guys, okay? Deodorant. It works. It's crazy. We get married and we get lazy. Ladies, let me say something to y'all, man. All right, I better get some amens, guys. All right, I'm just saying. I'm helping you out. Hey, you know, take the sweats off every once in a while. You know, throw some makeup on when there's nothing special going on. Your husband comes home, man, be like, what's up? Dinner will be later. You get dessert first. All right? we ain't attractive anymore. We don't go out of our way to attract our spouse. We like, man, I've been married 20 years. It looked like you've been married 20 years. Good night. Be attractive. Fix yourself up. Man, go on a date, dudes. Man, call your wife up and say, hey, don't cook tonight, baby. I'm taking you out. We're going to do a second offering today. Praise God. All right. Call your, be attractive. We've lost the art of attraction in marriage. And it's no wonder, man, we kind of go through this motion of marriage and relationships. Look at what she says here in verse 5. It says, dark am I, yet lovely, O daughters of Lebanon. Do not stare at me because I am dark, because I'm darked by the sun. I want to stop there for a second. This is really, really important. Ladies, I need your ears this morning, okay? You know what she's saying? See, today it's all about the tan, right? Get a tan. Well, you got a nice tan. Right? You got a white teeth and a tan. All right, they got the tan that makes it look yellow now, praise God. I would have had this spray on stuff, you know? But see, back then, to be dark was not a good thing. It means that she worked in the fields. It means that she was a servant girl. So she's saying, don't look at me. Don't look at my outer beauty. Some of you ladies, man, have that struggle yourself. And you're saying, don't look at me. See, it's not about this appearance that we try to make up. There's a deeper attraction that we need to begin to focus on, especially at the church. In raising that standard at the church, that's one of the things we really have got to learn to focus in on and get rid of this idea. She was a servant. She worked in the field. And she said, please, she's telling her lover, don't look at my skin. Don't look at my body. Don't look at the wrinkles and the age. Don't look at all this. My mother's sons were angry with me and made me take care of their vineyards. My own vineyard I've neglected. When you see that word vineyard in the scriptures, she's not talking about picking grapes. She's talking about her physique. She's talking about her body. She's pleading with her lover, don't look at my body. Now, there's a good truth here, young people. All right, let me say something. Your standard of beauty, we talked about this a little bit last week. Your standard of beauty standing or in that relationship should be the woman that you're engaged to or married to. That's your standard of beauty in the marriage. But guys that are dating, let me tell you something, man. When she says I do and you got that honeymoon night, whoop, whoop, that's all fitting to change. That look is fixing to change. All right? Gravity is going to take over. For real. Gravity takes over, and, you know, it ends. I mean, when you see her on her marriage night and on your wedding night, that's it. Praise God. For some, it ends real quick. Some of y'all going to wake up one day, and she's going to come out there in the hallway or in the whatever, and you're going to look, and you're going to be shocked. Some of y'all have never seen your girlfriend without makeup on. You're going to be surprised at who you're dating or you're married to. Date long enough to know this person. Don't get stuck on the outer appearance. See, that's what's happened in with young people today. We're so, because of Hollywood has made this image about this is what you need to look like and this is how you should look. This is what a happy marriage looks like. And all this stuff going on, and it's so false. Because then you get married and you wake up and the veil comes down and you're like, oh my gosh, what did I just marry? You weighed, you know, you was 100 pounds when we married. You're 120, 150 now, somewhere in there. That's a big group, right? Praise God. That's not the standard of our beauty. That's not the standard of her beauty. Men, young men, move from that. Verse 1:7 says this, tell me you whom I love, where you graze your flock and where you rest your sheep at midday. She wants to get with him. She wants to meet him. Look at that. She wants to pursue who? Him. Why should I be like a veiled woman beside the flocks of your friends? That is a huge, huge statement. Listen to me. You know what she's saying right here? What a veiled woman was, it was a prostitute. It was a prostitute. She said, are you going to treat me like a veiled woman beside the flocks of your friends? Why should I be like that? Don't treat me like that. She's asking questions, and this is where we want to focus this morning. She is announcing to the world, why does Solomon think I'm the cat's meow? Why does Solomon think I'm it? If she's looking at my body, it ain't it. I'm compared to like a veiled woman because next to your friends, this is who I am. But yet you still like me. You still adore me. What's the lesson? Warriors, adore your wives, your princess. Adore them. Go after them. Pursue them. When did we stop pursuing our loves? It brings us to our first number one attraction. It's spiritual. Your first attraction should be spiritual towards your warrior princess, or whether you're dating or you're looking for that relationship, it needs to be spiritual. Everything else fades away. Everything else fades away. Warriors, you want to get attraction back. You want your princess to start looking at you the way that she used to look at you. You need to get in touch with God. Listen to me. Guys, I'm going to give you a huge truth here. You want to see your wife's eyes light up on you like, woo, like when you first met? All right? Put God first. Ladies, right? Am I on this alone? You're like, amen. Praise God, right? I was sitting here watching everybody worship this morning, and it's cool, man. Everybody has their way of worship, and we don't put pressure on worship here at church. Man, we want you to worship the way God is. But men, listen to me. Warriors, listen to me for a minute. You know what your wife will do if you start really kind of getting into worship, you know? You ain't got to be like all just running around the church doing weird stuff, man. Maybe it's right here. Maybe it's just rock the baby. Rock the baby. You know, maybe it's right here. It's just rock the baby, all right? And then once you get from rock to baby, maybe we can go a little bit, you know, hey, maybe my fish was this big. My fish was this big, you know? And then we'll work towards, hey, touchdown, praise God. Amen. Touchdown, praise. We'll work up towards that point right there, all right? But some of y'all just need to rock the baby a little bit. Just rock the baby. You know, get your hands right out here. It's okay. Come from here. You know, get your hands out of your pockets, young men. Listen to me. You know, we're worshiping God like this. Hey, God, all right. You know, rock the baby a little bit. All right? Now y'all see where I'm going, right? All right? And then my fish was this big. Okay, I'm getting up there. I'm not there yet. My fish was this big, okay? And then we'll go to touchdown. All right, we'll go to touchdown. We'll get there one day. But man, get your hands out of your pocket. Stop worshiping God. You want to see women come unglued? Yes. Put God first in your life, men. Ladies, man, stop trying to put standards on your warriors that God never meant to be there. Come on, men. Be the woman that God created you to be. Let men be men. Let them be the warrior in the home. Be attractive again, ladies. Spiritual attraction happens three ways. It loves and honors God. The other way, man, listen to me. Husband and wife, you guys really want to connect? Listen to me. Connect with God together. You know something? Robin and I have grown together in our marriage in such a powerful way because we connect with each other in ministry. Some of y'all, man, need to volunteer together as husband and wife and serve in the children's church. Join the cleaning group. Do a life group together. Serve God together. Amazing things happen, man, when you got 50 people coming over to your house for a life group and you just got in a fight. We're going to clear this up right now, baby. And we're going to work this out. We got people coming over, right? You're on your way to the church, man, right? You're going to start an argument, right? We better pray right now, man. We're going ready to walk in. Spiritual connection begins to happen in amazing ways when you serve God together. Serve God together. It is a shame, man, that women are outdoing God or outdoing men in the church. Men, step up and be warriors. Serve in the local church, in your church, whether that's here or whether you're visiting for the first time and you belong to another church. Man, get down with it. Serve God together. And the other thing is, have godly standards. Let God be the standard of, we had this awesome, how many of y'all came to the XO Conference 2016? Awesome stuff. Who's the boss? Jesus is the boss. Man, I have one person pay attention. Cool. All right. Who's the boss? Jesus. God's the boss of the marriage. I ain't the head of the marriage. My wife ain't the boss. I'm not the boss. God's the boss. And we're going to submit ourselves to that standard. Let God's standard rule the marriage. And you'll start having spiritual attraction. Song of Psalms 1, 9 through 14. We're going to take out for a minute here. I like you, say my darling. Everybody say that together. I even underlined to make it. Ready? My. Very good. Let's do it one more time, real loud. I liken you, my darling. Very good. Very important. To a mare harnessed to one of the chariots of Pharaoh. Whoa. Wait a minute. So your girl looks like a horse? We'll do counseling later, okay? Praise God. We'll do that, all right? So it says, harnessed to one of the chariots of Pharaoh. Your cheeks are beautiful with earrings, your neck with strings of jewels. We will make your earrings of gold studded with silver. She's looking at him, and she's like, you know, hey, go back there. Go back one. We'll come back there in a minute. Go back. There we go. I liken you, my darling, to a mare harnessed to one of the chariots of Pharaoh. This is cool analogy and an awesome symbolism. What she is saying is she's like, look, the Pharaoh's man had the best of the Arabian horses. These beautiful, white, studded horses, man. I mean, they were gorgeous. That's what she's comparing him to. Not saying he looks like a mare, walking around, whatever, you know. She's comparing him to this most beautiful thing that she could think of. How do you talk to one another? How do you communicate with one another? When you talk to each other. I got a huge conviction this week, and I'm going to share something with you because I think it's really important that I share this with you. This weekend at XO Conference, one of the things that God spoke to me on was the way that I communicate. I'm very brass in my communication with my wife and with people in general. Some of you have heard my communication. I've had to apologize. Matter of fact, as an example, last week we were here preparing for worship, and I got pretty brass with our leaders and our staff that was here in a meeting. I was a little irritated, a little overwhelmed, and I let my, what is it, the hummingbird mouth overrun your, alligator or something or other. Some of y'all know that phrase, right? And I did. How do we communicate to the ones we love? How do we describe them? Are we harsh with our wives? Guys, listen to me. We cannot expect our wives to be that partner that we want when we're harsh to them. But wives, listen to me now. I've heard some of you guys speak to your husbands. I've heard the way you spoke to your husbands. It blows my mind, man. So it applies to all of us. There's a cool word, that word darling. The reason I have it bolded is it's actually a Hebrew word. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and the New Testament is written in Greek. So Greek's a lot easier to understand than the Hebrew. This is a word called raya, and I'm probably totally tearing this word up. It's R-A-Y-A-H. And here's the cool thing. We're going to think of it as a word of endearment, like, you know, lover or something like that, and that's really not what it means. It actually means like a best friend. A best friend. Actually, in the definition, it means fellow, F-E-L-L-O-W. Like it's an old English term where you say, hey, that's my fellow, my buddy. That's my homeboy, my homegirl. All right? Where did we lose that in a marriage? Some marriages, you guys just need to get back to being friends again. Where you can say, that's my darling. Single people, that's where you need to start. Just be friends. Get to know them long enough. Here's the secret. You want to know what kind of husband they're going to be? Watch them boys talk to their mamas. Watch them boys talk to their mamas. Oh, I heard a whole bunch of them. Mm-hmm. All right, now watch this one. You want to see what kind of wife she's going to be? Watch how she talks to her daddy or about her daddy. Mama, daddy, right here. Daddy, daughter right there. Praise God. Yeah. For real, though, best wisdom you can have in looking at your future spouse. Young men, watch how she treats her father. Because I guarantee you, the way she treats her daddy is the way she's going to treat you. If there's hurt and broken relationship between her and her father, that will be brought into the marriage. I promise you, there needs to be healing. Okay? Doesn't mean you can't be healed from it, just there needs to be healing. It's also the other way. Young ladies, you watch that man and how he treats his mama. If he treats his mama disrespectfully or ugly and she comes in the room and says, hey, honey, do you want something? What do you want, woman? Uh-huh. He's going to bring that into the marriage. How do we communicate to each other? We need to go back to being friends again. And that's what he's saying here. It's like, you're my friend. I liken you as my friend, my darling, to a mare harnessed to one of the chariots of Pharaoh. That's very important. They've become friends first. They're not just lovers. They're friends. Husbands and wives, we need to get back to that. Some of you need to get away from the crowds that you're hanging out with because it's drawing you away from each other and come together and just become friends again. For some of you, might be just going on a sabbatical together and just getting out, getting a hotel and saying, we're leaving town this weekend. Your cheeks are beautiful with earrings, your neck with strings of jewels. You got a long neck. We will make your earrings of gold studded with silver. It goes on. While the king was at his table, my perfume spread its fragrance. My lover is to me a sachet of myrrh resting between my breast. I do not know what a sachet of myrrh is, but I bet he was happy though, between my breast. I'm saying, my lover is to me a cluster of henna, blossoms from the vineyards of En Gedi. What they're doing right now is she's at home. They're not together. She's thinking about him. She's thinking about him. So she's laying there and she's thinking about him and wishing she was there with him. There's a relationship building up from friendship now, and now she wants to go kind of that next level. It takes us to the second point this morning, is emotional. Emotional attraction. She is sitting there thinking about her lover, thinking about this dude, and she is becoming excited about him. She is thinking about, let me tell you something, guys, if you treat your ladies the right way, you warriors, you treat your princess the right way, brother, I'm telling you right now, she's going to be thinking about you and you alone, and you ain't got to worry about no other guy. See, you hear that? Amen. That's the truth. Some of y'all are always on Facebook wondering what they're doing, what they're doing, what they're doing. You know what? If you was doing what you're supposed to be doing, you ain't got to worry about Facebook. You ain't got to worry about any of that. They're going to be thinking about you. It's emotional. It's an emotional attraction, emotional connection. We need to learn the art of being friends again. We do this about three different ways also. One, we got to be a friend. We got to put them first in our life. We've got to allow that friendship to blossom. We've got to get rid of the harsh words. Stop talking to each other. I've heard some people in a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship and even dating that talk so bad to each other. And I couldn't believe some of the things that I hear, even the things that I'm guilty of saying myself. We cannot expect to have the marriage that God planned for us to have when we're speaking that way to one another. And you start affirming her qualities. Especially as you get longer in marriage, things change. We talked about that already. These bodies do not look the same. Guys and gals are both. We look different. You know what I'm saying? A girl, she can look in the mirror and she, you know, to a guy, she looks perfect. She looks in the mirror and she'll find every flaw in her body. A guy, 45 years old, looking in the mirror, he's going, yeah. Beer gut, everything. Oh, man, that looks good. Boy, let's go. We don't care. Praise God. But a woman, she'll find every flaw in her. Every flaw. Men, you want to have emotional connection to her? You affirm her qualities. Affirm what God has done in and through her. Affirm her. But now, girls, you need to affirm his ability. Now, my wife and I have worked on an area in our marriage where I like to do stuff around the house. And a lot of times when I first got married and over the early years, I'd get up to do something and she would end up doing it. And so it just kind of like, okay, you know. And then so I'm like, okay, I ain't got nothing to do. Kind of, you know, whatever. And so I told her, I said, just ask me and I will do it. If you'll just ask me, I want to do stuff for you around the house. And so I started doing things just to see if she would notice it because I'm a guy. I took out the trash one day, right? So I watched her go over there and take the trash, put trash in there, and I'm kind of sitting on the couch kind of watching her. I'm like, nothing. Nothing. So we got to talking, and I said, total random. We're talking about maybe the car or we're doing something, and just like in that middle, I segue right into trash. Did you see the trash? I empty the trash. I just needed her to say, that a boy. You need to do that for your men. Even if it's routine, you need to let them know, ladies, and affirm your husband's ability. Whether it's the job that he does and he works tirelessly at, or whether it's picking up his socks. Sometimes you just need to start with the little things, I know. Praise God. There's another thing, too, that we need to do as we're developing this emotional attraction. This is so vital, is we need to take every thought captive. Because, see, here's what happens. Do you realize that 90% of affairs are emotional first? They are not physical. Never set out to be physical. Never set out to be physical. It's emotional. It's that guy at work. Because let me tell you something. This is what's going to happen. Men and women, both listen to me for a second. This is very important. That emotional need is going to be met by someone. Ladies, someone is going to affirm your husband. And men, husbands, someone will affirm the qualities of your wife. It better be you. That's how the devil will get in and begin to mess with that relationship and jack with that relationship. I know from firsthand experience. Okay, listen to me. It is our responsibility to come into a relationship and affirm the ones God has given to us. Because otherwise you don't, and you don't talk. See, you go to, your wife goes to work, or she's at work, and she's working on whatever, and the boss comes in and says, man, you did a fantastic job. You do such a great job. You do such a great job. I do. Something clicks. Yeah, you do a job every time. You are so smart. I am. I'm smart. There's emotional connection. And they begin to talk. For women's need, it's not sexual. It's not sexual. It is emotional. That's why as pastors, the policy at our church now, because we've learned from mistake after mistakes after mistakes, when we counsel females, my wife will either be in the room with me or another leader in this church. I do not counsel women up by myself. It's too dangerous because you're affirming them. You're praying for them. You're listening to them. There's ladies that are out there that haven't got to be, they just need to be listened to. And when someone opens their ears up just to listen to them, they are in love. It's an emotional attraction. Guys, it's the same way. You know, you go home and your wife is telling you about how bad you are all the time, and then you go to work and that secretary says, man, you lose weight? You do something different to your hair? What'd you do? You look different. Did I? Well, I didn't take a second helping to that ice cream this morning. Thank you. Thank you for noticing. Someone will feel that need. So this is where we're at. About 75% of the attraction is spiritual. Huge. All right? And then about 20% of that is emotional in this relationship deal. But there's another 5% that's just as important. It's very important. And we're going to take a look at that here as we unpack this and kind of start closing this up. Song of Psalms 1:15-17. Let's take a look. It says, how beautiful you are. There's that word again, my darling. Oh, how beautiful your eyes are, doves. How handsome are you, my lover. Talking back and forth, bragging on each other a little bit right there, right? Oh, how charming and our bed is verdant. In other words, our bed is ready. Our bed is ready to go. You're looking good. You're smelling good. Amen. The beams of our house, our cedars, our rafters, our firs. What in the world are they talking about? All right, look, man, they're bragging on each other. They're doing everything right. But he stops. He stops and he says, wait a minute. Our foundation is right first. Oh, yeah, you pretty. Oh, you pretty. You smell good. You smell good too. But the foundation of that house has to be right. That foundation of the home has to be right. And that's what he's telling the lover. He's saying, whoa, 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 stop for a moment. The beams of our house are cedars, our rafters are firs. We've established our house on the right standard. We've established our home on the right standard. If you're dating, we've established some rules here, and we're going to have a healthy relationship. We're going to have a good relationship. And this might go into a marriage. This might be that thing, but we're going to establish the rafters in the right place with the right type of material. We're not going to build it on straw and hay and junk where it can be burned up and where it can fall down. The Bible says, man, to build our foundation, or the storms of life are going to come in and wipe it out. He says here, they each have their qualities. They complement each other. But look, the beams, the supports of our house are ready, and we have our right supports in place. And that takes me to the final one, number three, which is physical attraction. Physical attraction. We're putting all the beams in right place. I'm going to talk about this for a moment because this is huge. We think physical as in be like, yeah, I CrossFit, what's up? That's not what it means. My wife and I have been married 27 years, 24 years. Man, I wish it was 27. I don't know where that come from. Praise God. Prophecy, we're going to make it to 27. Praise God. All right? We've been married 24 awesome years. And there was a physical attraction that Robin doesn't know a whole lot about that I have for her. Yeah, I know. You hear that? No? All right. And I used to watch her with her father. I used to watch her with her daddy. Her daddy is not a complete opposite of me. I mean, everything. He's tall. All right. Praise God. Man. He's a good looking guy. He's a good looking guy. I've never heard my wife disrespect her daddy. Never. Her daddy did some not so smart things. She's never disrespected him. And my watching Robin, I was so physically attracted to her by watching her and that relationship. And I said, I want that. I want that type of relationship from my spouse, from my wife. That's the type of physical attraction we're referring to. That you begin to see beyond the body, men, ladies. You begin to see beyond what your eyes are seeing physically. And you begin to see into her or into him the things and the qualities that he brings. And that physical attraction is what brings you together in the moment. Man, we've been lied to, guys. We've been lied to by the media. Young people, you're being lied to. You're being lied to. You watch these TV shows and these things on TV where people are having, listen to me, television, just television, okay? 96. 96% of the sexual relationships on a television show, I'm not talking about a rated R movie at the movie theater. I'm not even talking about pornography. I am talking about regular 5 p.m. to 10 o'clock at night, regular TV shows that you watch every day. 96% show sexual conduct outside of marriage. And when they show it, it's everybody's happy. They don't show the pain and the hurt and the anger and the pregnancy and the person leaving and the divorce and all that other garbage. Because we've been lied to think, we've been deceived to think this is what a marriage is supposed to look like. This is what a relationship is supposed to look like. And we've been deceived because there's a physical attraction that God has created in us, in every one of us, that we should have towards our princess or towards our warrior. And it's not physical in the sense of what we see with our eyes. It's the physical attraction that we have because of what God has done inside that person. And we miss it. We miss the mark of God's design in marriage and God's design in relationship. And what we do is we go out and we take this net and we throw it out and we reel it in and we get this crappy fish and we think that's what we're supposed to have because that's what the world does to us instead of setting a standard of what God says that we should have. Ladies, single ladies, listen to me. You deserve God's best. Amen. Stop settling for garbage. Young men, you deserve God's best. And you that are married, listen to me. Focus on what God created and gave to you. He gave you his daughter. He gave you his warrior. Develop the attractions. Develop the spiritual attraction. Develop that emotional attraction again in the physical challenge. And the physical. See, warriors, when the woman God has placed in your life feels and sees your need for her, that you view her as a princess and you act like an honorable warrior, her view changes of you. I skipped the passage of scripture, but I want to read this. Song of Songs, chapter 2. Go to that chapter 2, 1 through 3. I want you to see something that happened here. This is her speaking again. It says, I am a rose of Sharon, a lily of the valley. Like a lily among thorns is my darling among the maidens. Like an apple tree among the trees of the forest is my lover among the young men. I delight to sit in his shade and his fruit. She says, I am a rose of Sharon. This is the same person who said, don't look at me because I'm dark. But because he sees value in her from different things, it's not physical. She now views herself as a rose of Sharon. And then she says to him that, man, you're like out in the woods and you're this apple tree that's out there. You're my lover among men. In other words, I will pick you out. No matter how many dudes are out there, I can find you. That's the relationship that God wants you to have inside a marriage. Powerful. They see each other, the qualities, they complement each other, and their view changes. And then she does what a woman will do, men, when you treat your princess the right way. Song of Psalms chapter 2, 5 through 6. Strengthen me with raisins, refresh me with apples, for I am faint with love. She's like, baby, take me in right now. You got me. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Watch verse 6. His left arm is under my head and his right arm embraces me. All right? Throw away the Harlequin romance books, man. This is real deal. Guys, when you treat your women like princess or your girls that you're dating or whatever, this is going to be the final outcome. But I want you to see something that happens before we watch what he does. He stops it. He calls a timeout. I know, right? You're like, what? Why? Verse 7, look at this. Oh, look at this. Daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you by the gazelles and by the does of the field, do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. You know what he's saying? He's like, whoa, 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 time out. May she look good, but we're not doing it this way. This ain't God's desire. This ain't God's plan. This ain't God's purpose. This ain't God's standard. And so until God has blessed this desire and God has done the right thing in marriage, we calling a timeout. Change of play on the field. Do not awaken. Do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. Young people, take heed. Call a timeout. Do things the way God has created you to. The phrase, until it so desires, means until we do it God's way. That's That's when we know it's love and not lust. We honor each other. Young people, you honor those that God has for you. Because listen to me for a second. And this isn't even in the notes, man. Listen to me, young people, for a minute. And singles, too. When you're in a dating relationship, and you're not planning on marrying this old gal, or you have no intention of doing that, you need to remember something. That's somebody's daughter. That's somebody's future wife. I know it's like, this ain't the happy stuff that you usually preach. Listen to me. I'm trying to get you somewhere. Young people, singles, if you don't plan on marrying her and you're not putting a ring on it, how's that? If you like it, put a ring on it, you know, whatever. If you're not planning on doing that, it's somebody's wife. It's somebody's daughter. I challenge you. Be the mature one. Be the warrior and step out and say, you know what? This isn't God ordained. This isn't what God planned. This, you're not my spouse. But men that are married, and you guys and gals that you're in this relationship, stop quitting. Marriage is an ongoing working relationship, man, that we're constantly developing spiritually. We're constantly developing emotionally. And we're constantly developing physically. My wife and I, man, have been married 24 years, which is amazing. But the cool thing about this entire experience is that my children are grown and they've moved away. I know that's really cool, but that's not the cool part. The cool part is I'm getting to know her emotionally all over again. I get to meet a different woman, and it's amazing. Because in each phase that God brings us in, there's a new challenge of the spiritual. There's a new challenge of the emotional. There's a new challenge of the physical. And some of you are just starting out, man, and you're already ready. It's like what we talked about at the beginning of this. You're all ready to quit because someone didn't tell you the truth, that it takes work in marriage. Marriage is not easy. It takes work. And someone forgot to tell you that you should seek God first and let him be the boss of that relationship. Someone forgot to tell you that. See, in this ministry here at Epic Life, I will not marry a couple without counseling. If I'm going to marry them, why? Because I want to give them these tools so they can be the man and be the woman, be the warrior, be the princess that God has ordained and created. And there's been times where in the discussion of marriage, they find out they shouldn't be together. And so they didn't get married. Never had a divorce. I've never had a divorce. We give them the proper tools. We want them to have the tools and tell them, hey, marriage sucks sometimes. Why all the family and friends are going, woohoo, you're getting married. I want to be the one that knocks on your door and go, man, I know you're happy. I know you're excited. But it's not always going to be this way. You got to work at it. You got to work at it. I'm praying for each and every one of you. And I know some of you are struggling in your marriage. And I've watched some of you take an amazing journey into watching God heal you over these last couple of weeks, just in the early weeks of this message series. And I believe God's going to touch you even greater. I believe God wants to do something great in the marriages of Epic Life Church. I shared with those that attended the XO16 conference here at the church this weekend. I shared with them, I said, We want to invest in marriages here at Epic Life, because if you can develop healthy, strong marriages that reflect the grace and the goodness of God, then you can change a family. If you can develop and change a family, you can change and develop a community, a neighborhood, and a city, and a community, to finally a state, to maybe even a nation, to maybe even going further to a world. This message series is so powerful that it will change the way you look at your job. It will change all of your relationships. When I understood this between my wife and myself, and we got this thing right. Now, we're not perfect. She's married to me, so we know we ain't perfect. But we have the tools and we understand that change happens and that we got to grow and we've developed this. Everything out here falls back into place and now I can enjoy the life that God has created me to live. People ask me, Mike, how you doing? I say, man, I'm living the dream. I can say that because I'm lived and I'm married to the dream. My wife's an amazing woman. Amen.